Honorable Nkabane, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson, and let me also welcome the presentation from these two entities. I will start to ask my clarity-seeking questions from the Productivity SA. On slide number 8, number 5, objective number 5, strategic objective number 5, where you targeted to have two indicators and you achieve zero. So I didn't hear your explanation why. Can you explain it for us? And we have slide number 11, which is about the non-performance during the quarter and areas of non-performance, where the target was 6-0 and you actualize only 6. And from page slide 11 and slide 13, the reason of not actualizing this target was because of non-operational budget. So I just want to know whether was it part of your budget you submitted to the department, or there was no budget planned for this activity? Or did you, maybe the budget you budgeted for operational was removed by the department or not? We just want to know the reason why you have no operational budget to make actualization of that. So we on slide, again also on slide 15, is the same. It's about the no operational budget which hinder you to reach your targets. So the slide 19 about the finances, I just want to know, do you have a CFO in your entity? If yes, where is the CFO, maybe to make presentation, because I see you are making presentation on yourself. But I just want to know whether you have a CFO or not. On the slide 19 about the financial performances, yeah, I will appreciate if you can do it when you do it next time, to make the percentages so that we can see the measurement clearly about the actual and the budgeted and the actual money used during the period under review. That is the Productivity SA. Maybe Chairperson, can I proceed to the CCMA? Okay. Thank you. About the CCMA, I will start at slide 10. Slide 10. I can't see clearly about the presentation about the quarter under review, the quarter one. I just see about the explanation about the 33,632. Yes, okay. No, let me withdraw my question. I have noticed that. So on slide 14, you mentioned the time frames for CCMA procedures. On slide 14, they about the cases, how long does it take you for conciliation, arbitration? So I want to know about how long does it take in terms of the rescission of judgment, of awards. If the award was awarded and there is an application for rescission of judgment, how long does it take for the rescission of judgment? And the last question is on slide 17. Yeah, slide 17, the money you budgeted for the period under review, there are a lot of variants. Like the first one, commissioner's fee, 18%, case disbursement, 5%, case disbursement, admin cost, 42%, and the list goes on. There are a lot of variations, although you put the reasons there. So, but does it mean that maybe the department is giving you more money, which is you are unable to utilize it? So that we mustn't give you more money, so that you must always have variations. It's better to keep the money to the department to go and use the other arms of the department. That's what I'm asking, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable.
Thank you, Jay. My question is for productivity, and it's with regards on slide 8 to strategic objective number 3. Now, I understand that the reason why there is nothing indicated there is because there isn't any budget available, and I appreciate that the entity is speaking with the department in order to get budget made available. But in light of recent developments such as ArcelorMittal wanting to close their Saldanha plant and the pending strikes at SAA as well with regards to retrenchments, and maybe the CCMA can also help with this. I think there is an urgent need to look at helping these enterprises and from the department side helping to prevent job losses, because there's quite a lot, and obviously Saldanha is the entire economy of Saldanha almost revolves around the plant. So is there any urgency in this? Is there a plan from the department side? Is there something that the department is doing and looking into this situation specifically? Thank you.
No,
thanks, Chair. My question will be on page 6 of the presentation of the CCMA, Chair. Chair, I see the trend line here in terms of quarter 1 year where there is a performance comparison. Chair, I see that by 2015-16 we're sitting at 91%, but now at 71%, at least 2017-18 and 2018-19, we're still around 75%. So I want to get from the commissioner what may be the reasons of this decline. The second one, Chair, is around the notion that says these targets that are set by the commission are more strategical than being operational. But when I look at the reasons for non-achievement of the set targets that they've set for themselves, the reasons here are as a result of operational or administrative error. So I see a contradiction here. I need a clarity in relation to that, Commissioner. The other one, Chair, is around productivity SA. What I want to get is that maybe the DG as well is going to assist on this one if they are not in a position to actually respond to this question. To say, is there any legislation or piece of legislation that enables productivity SA to receive the allocation for them to be able to execute their responsibilities effectively? And the last one will be, how far are they with finalizing the transfer from to Productivity SA from UIF? And how far is the process as far as the finalization of the Memorandum of Agreement? Thanks, Chair.
From my side, it will be CMA. DG, I just want to check that you will, I'll make an example about the challenges that are now in the media space, the SAA. As I was listening to the spokesperson of NAMSA this morning, alleging that there hasn't been any consultation. Now, any workplace, if processes and procedures are not followed, that is quite a challenge. But for instance, now let's take this one, because this is of national interest. It's an airline, a national airline. If you pick up that the employer is alleged by the trade unions, have not followed the procedure, what do you do? And pardon my ignorance, do you wait, or are you allowed to intervene to avoid, I'm asking that, so that you avoid whatever challenge that may arise, which is going to affect the country. So that's why I'm saying I want to be very careful. Allegations. Now, as an entity that is ensure that there is communication that is supposed to be adhered to in terms of the regulation, if you pick up that there is that allegation, what then do you do? I just want to check that. Secondly, is that is it going to be possible? Was it the same thing as we have said previously to the department, that you break down some of this so that we know which sectors have you conciliated, which sectors have you in mediation, so that we are able to see the trend of those employers, companies that are not adhering to the regulations and the laws of the country in terms of labor. And these challenges is that, as one member has said, as we are to ensure that the unemployment situation is lowered, on the other side, the employers are threatening retrenchment. Remember now that we are to interact deeply with the added mandate, which is the employment part of the department. So that for me will then be an interest. Productivity SA, you said in slide, sorry for that, in the slide where you said you are to ensure that workers, people are paid within 30 days of it. What then is your relationship with the Department of Small Business? Do you check with them, because they are also to look into that, so that we don't have departments that are talking across one another. For me, that those will only be the questions. Thank you. We then allow both commissioners to respond on the questions. And the department and the ministry, if it wants to come in, it will also come in some of the areas. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first question related to slide number 8, particularly strategic objective number 5, where there is a target of 2 and we achieved 0. And the member wanted to get an explanation for the poor performance, which we have provided in the next slide on slide number 11. But what we did, we just pulled out that strategic objective number 5 and then to indicate on the two indicators. The first indicator has to do with the number of productivity awards and regional milestones, milestone workshops hosted, that we planned for 3 and only achieved 1. Now, here the challenge was, at the time of planning, we were anticipating funding from the DTI for the 2019-20 financial year. Unfortunately, as at quarter one, we did not receive any funding in that regard. So it then ultimately constrained us. There was just very limited resources for us to be able to do that. However, we did receive the funding in the second quarter, during the second quarter. So that's when we then were just catching up. So it's actually this has to do with the just those two key performance indicators where we failed to perform. The same with the education and training development practitioners and productivity champions, because part of our work is around, as we intervene in the companies, we train champions so that they sustain the momentum when we have left. So once you don't have funding, unfortunately, there's very little that you can do. The second question that is related to that which you asked was it part of the budget? Yes, it was, unfortunately. And these are, our sources of funding are three. Part of it comes from the department through the appropriation. The second comes from the department through the UIF, for the Turnaround Solutions Program, and the third comes from the DTI for the Workplace Challenge Program. So once you have a delay in funding, particularly quarter one, it's always a problem, because then there is this towing and throwing about when will the funds come and so, but altogether for quarter one we received nothing from the DTI. So hence what you're seeing here. It's very drastic. So the reasons for poor performance in are just summarized in slide 11 in terms of indicator number 9 and number 10. And then if you look at slide 13, it's exactly what we indicated, that is specific to that strategic objective number 5. And then slide 15 is also specific to that strategic objective number 5. And then you asked why did the CEO present the, in terms of slide 19, why the CEO presented the financial report, whether there is no CFO, there is. Dr. Sabela is the CFO of Productivity South Africa. Unfortunately, the CEO takes accountability for anything that happens in that space. And when there are probably more technical issues, the CFO advises me in that regard. So we just decided that I should handle the whole presentation. But when there are specific questions that are of a technical nature, I will delegate accordingly. And I hear your advice on expanding in terms of the detail when we come back, we will definitely do so. The next question the member raised, it's again in respect of slide 8, but then in this case particularly strategic objective 3, to support enterprises going through economic distress. The funding challenge is unfortunately up to the point of reporting end quarter 2. Were not resolved, but as I indicated, we have been in constant engagement with the department, and I'm sure that the DG can advise the committee, because we have come to the conclusion that funding would come for us to be able to start work at least in the fourth quarter of 1920. And then there was also an issue about, as we're sitting here, retrenchments are taking place. Now, we couldn't sit back and say, because there's no funding, we're not going to do anything. So we are working very closely with the CCMA, particularly on the temporary relief scheme, your former training layoff scheme. As part of that process, we are actually adjudicating on the applications, and there's quite a number of companies that have been referred for temporary relief where workers would undergo training. Now, once these funds have been released in quarter 4, it's going to make it easy for us then to pull out of that menu. Unfortunately, for some it will be late, but for those that we can rescue, the timing is right. What is encouraging is because enterprises have seen the value of this work, there are some who are coming forth to say, help us, we will pay, which is unique. And I think it comes up because if we intervene in a company, ordinarily our rates are very low compared to what you could find in the market, and most of these companies, because they're already in distress, they can't afford any of that service. So I'm optimistic that once the funds come through, we already have a list of companies that would intervene in. Unfortunately, those that are talking large scale, we cannot, because I think the horses have bolted. Thank you.
Sorry, CFO.
And then the issue of...
I would, if you respond on a question, please respond to the chair.
Thank you, Chair, for the advice. My apologies. The chairperson asked a question on the 30 days payment period on receipt of invoice. We don't actually monitor the compliance at a national level. All that we do is we are complying with that treasury prescript that once we have transacted with a company, particularly small and medium enterprises, we should settle the invoice in 30 days. So we don't have a relationship with the Department of Small Business in that particular space. Thank you, Chair.
If you are done, can we get from the Commissioner, from CMA?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe just to the first question, the question related to timeline for rescissions. Effectively, you would have the timeline starts running from the date when the rescission application is actually received. So to give an example, let's say an award is rendered on the 1st of January, and the application is then made for rescission, normally within 14 days. That will be the first trigger for the application to come in. After that, there's a timeline of 5 days with regards to opposing papers that can be filed, another 3 days for reply. apply to those opposing. So that's the timeline that we have in terms of the rules of the CCMA. And then, as per usual, the Commissioner would have 14 days from the date of all those papers being received to make a ruling with regards to that rescission. So the timelines are specified in terms of our rules from where the application is received until when the ruling is made. So that's with regards to the rescission ruling. Then with regards to the second question, I'll ask the CFO, we can maybe take that one last, if you don't mind, then I'll just run through the others. There was a question with regards to, and I think from one of the portfolio committees with regards to Saldana and the role that the CCMA can play, and I think it nicely links with a question that the Chair has posed with regards to SAA and the role that the CCMA play. I think we must see it twofold. There is firstly our proactive intervention, where if something, let's say at Saldana or SAA happens, we can contact the parties and say, listen, we have picked up in the media or we've picked up through our sources to say, here is something that's going to break or that's going to happen. And do you want our intervention? Can we intervene? Now you may ask, well, why do you ask? The reason for that is purely that we can only formally start engaging the parties once there's a formal application made to the CCMA. So what we will normally do is try and entice them to make that application and say, listen, our services are here, it's free of charge, so please make use of our services. But unless that application comes in, our hands are basically bound because legally we don't have the authority to intervene. I can also maybe mention that I've actually just about an hour ago was informed that the SAA matter will be referred to the CCMA for our assistance. So in that specific case, what has happened is SAA has approached the CCMA to say, we would like your intervention and assistance in facilitating this process. So maybe just in a response to that, so I think that deals with two of the questions that was posed. Then the question with regards to the trend line, and the Honourable Member is 100% correct, that if I purely look at percentages, yes, the 71 is lower than 75. But as I indicated, we must also look at it against the number of indicators or targets we have set. For example, in this first quarter, we have only set 7, whereas in the previous years, we have set 8, and in the year that was referred to with regards to the 90-odd percent, there was close to 22 targets set. So I think the percentile, when you do the calculation, it is a percentile non-compliance against the number of targets. So yes, percentile-wise, it's lower, but if I look at the number of targets not achieved, as I've indicated, as per previous quarters, they remain 2. Okay. So that's the answer, as I said, as I can confirm that you're quite correct, that the percentile would indicate a lower percentage achievement. The second part would be on the strategicness of the target set. And let me maybe clarify that aspect. As you would have indicated that there was quite a number of targets set if you look at the previous years. We've reduced those over the years, and this year for the first quarter we've set 7. And the thinking behind that is to say it is no use to have 20 or 30 targets set out there, some of them very easily attainable. Rather set targets which you think is going to be something that stretches the organization. For example, in as far as the two that we did not achieve. If we look at the last one, which is the arbitration not achieved. Last year, the target set for that was 98%. This year, we've achieved 99%, but we've moved that target up to a full 100%. So if we were still measuring ourselves against the target we had set last year, we would have been achieving that target. So yes, the context of the strategic is to say that we are more focused on saying, let's look at what things we want in our annual performance plans, and other aspects we move down to our operational plans in the organization. It still gets measured, but doesn't form part of our annual performance plan. So that's maybe just an explanation on being more strategic in what we put into our annual performance plan. Madam Chair, there is... I just want to see... Yeah, I think I've then covered every aspect, and I'll rely on yourself if you think I've left something out. I'll just hand over to the CFO to deal with the aspect on the variances.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. If you look at the presentation that we have given with regards to the financial information that we are presenting, we actually presenting the information in different formats. So we are showing you the spending patterns in line with the strategic objectives,
the spending patterns in line with the programs. The question was, do we have more than what we need? The answer is definitely no. If you look at the quarter under review that we came to present on, our overall variance for the organization was merely 5%, and you can already see that there is certain areas within the organization which we are almost bridging, or which we had actually exceeded what we had planned to spend in that particular month. So do we have more than what we need? No. But there is various operational reasons that make us probably not to spend in a particular line item or in a particular program at a set point in time. But definitely we don't have more than what we need at this point in time. Thank you.
Those are the responses, honorable members. Any audit? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Just to add to what both the CCMA and Productivity South Africa mentioned with regards to the possible retrenchments, we already, the CCMA is already sitting with about 22,000 retrenchments as a result of Section 189 at NEDLAC. And this is adding to that the 800 at Saldanha and the 700 at CCMA adds to that figure. Just wanted to raise that, Chair. With regards to the funding of Productivity SA, we will be finalizing before the end of next week the MOA with Productivity SA. What we have decided to do is that we will fund, UIF will fund them for the last quarter, which is quarter four. With effect from the 1st of April next year, Productivity SA will get its funding from Public Employment Services. We've taken a decision that we need to fund the mandate of Productivity South Africa fully. So UIF will then enter into an agreement with Public Employment Services, because in terms of the new amendments to the UIF, Section 5D of the UIF makes provision for funding of employment schemes, and Productivity South Africa activities, they fall in line with such employment schemes. Also, the Public Employment Services provides for the establishment of Productivity South Africa and therefore regulate the work that Productivity South Africa does. And that's why we felt it the funding must be the responsibility of Public Employment Services, Chair. So we want to finalize those processes so that by the 1st of April they don't look around for funding. They get the funding from Public Employment Services. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DG. Members, any? Now I'm very generous. Second round? Gone. Gone. Oh, okay. Now, thank you very much, DG and your team. We hope that as you have been listening to our questions, some of them are questions that are relating to what is happening nationally. It really shows that as the committee, our eyes and ears are on the ground. And you are then a department that we will communicate. to it, so that we are aware, and it's part of our oversight. We will always have an interest on stable workplace environment, because if this workplace environment is not stable, relatively, there's somebody whom I'm not going to mention, whom used to say when he was in MEC, he get worried when shop stewards are not doing their work, because it then means there's going to be trouble. So CCMA, NEDLAC, in particular CCMA, has got that responsibility, in my view, and ensuring that relatively there will never be 100% stability in any workplace environment, but that is to be managed. I always say I will always have a problem with the employers, DM, that are panicking and always jittery about workers. Workers are there to protect. Shop stewards have got the responsibility of protecting the interest of their workers. And if at the Department of Labor you do pick up that there is a weakness there, I'm of the understanding that you are to assist with training and whatever. So on our side also, we will always panic when we see that this environment is threatening workers, but it's not only threatening workers, it's also threatening the country, because it's not about me working at SAA, I make an example, that is going to be affected. It's about my family. I'm just making that. So you will have to understand those questions that are coming from that. We will monitor this first quarter presentation as we move forward to the second quarter. Because at the end, I think there was a very important question that was raised, that you give us a financial statement of the whole year, whereas we're talking about a quarter. And I think that is quite very important. Secondly, is that we will discuss, I'll check with honourable members when to bring in provinces, and we will come back to you, DG, very soon. That we will have to speak to provinces, so that we are able to check exactly what is the challenge, because at the end, workers, ordinary people, are being affected, and if inspections are not being done in a manner that is really creating improving the social conditions of our people. And thank you very much. Next week, you are back here again, teaching. DM, if you are present, but we want to, I think we must appreciate that at least the Ministry of Employment and Labour is dedicating its time and effort, and that to us, DM, is telling us that you respect, you cooperate, you appreciate. We'll be hard when we are to be hard. We're not going to mix our words when we think that you are lowering your gut in terms of being the political heads of the department. But please ensure that what transpired today, this week, is no more going to happen in terms of us receiving presentations on the eve of the presentation, because at the end it's really unfair to the department. It has made bookings and whatever, but it's also unfair to ourselves as members of parliament. We have taken note of the MOUs that you say you are having with other departments. We'll come back. The issue of foreign national is top in our agenda. We will dedicate some time to look into that. We want to be cool. We can't be, because if everybody is more emotional about this, including ourselves as public representatives, you can imagine everybody in the country. So there must be that person, there must be that group or that unit that is going to say, okay, show the people that we are interested, but we are to work with our people in moving forward. We will look into those and we'll see maybe if we come back after next year. But the sooner we engage on that, it's going to be very important. Thank you very much for being with us. As you will be leaving, I will humbly request that the members of the committee, so that there are just some house issues that we want to be dealing with. And thank you very much. Oh, before that, please. In the next quarter, even before the next quarter, areas where we wanted detailed information, the breakdown, can we be furnished with that through the Secretariat, DG? I will appreciate if the DM can monitor that so that we don't come back again in the next quarter. Because in between, we are also to observe what is happening in between the quarters, and we must not be taken by surprise. In the second quarter, this couldn't happen, so that the monitoring, we are going to be really be on your neck. So we really, because the country is in a very serious situation in terms of unemployment. Thank you for DG. I'm sorry, DM.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I thought that we are committed to ensuring that there should be some sort of a standardization of our reporting systems, so that some questions shouldn't arise, as you correctly said. So and there should also be some sort of predictability from our side that on a quarterly basis. We are supposed to be, prior to the end of the quarter, there should be a quarterly report presented. And therefore, we should be knowing that such reports should be presented in a particular standard form, in this particular format. So we would have to be, at some point, ahead of ourselves and be able so that when we present such reports, some questions doesn't... The report must be in such a way that... we answer even your questions in advance, and we present such issues as already have been presented, that we are in detail and we are able to present reports that are already broken down in terms of what you have already alluded to. So we have heard you, Chair, and we have heard the committee, and I think we are committed to make sure that we make it easy for the committee, for the portfolio committee, to understand our reporting systems. So it will be upon us to make sure that we carry that burden on your behalf to present you to what exactly you expect from us. Thank you so much.
But it's not even about understanding us. Or it's about we don't want things that we read in between lines or are swept behind the underneath the carpet. We want a department that we are going to be confident, and we are happy with that commitment from your side, in particular as the political heads of the department. Until we meet again, you may be excused. Those who